All right, so thinking biblically about the LGBTQ, you have had a good lunch, you missed your normal rest, so naturally I expect some of you to sleep off. Only condition is don't disturb your neighbor. But the problem is that when Adam slept, he woke up and found something else. So I'm just wondering if you go to sleep, whether you will wake up with a different gender orientation. So the first lesson in the second standard ICSE English textbook 2021 is this one. So it conveys the message that each one of us is different and yet beautiful, and the use of the rainbow colors is a very subtle way of introducing the LGBT agenda in standard 2. But while the educational system is successfully indoctrinating their kids, our kids, we in the Reformed evangelical faith are often reluctant to even discuss this issue. And so I want to appreciate and congratulate you for arranging this session. Unlike yesterday's session, I'm going to take it slow, because yesterday we are talking about family and parenting, which we have heard a number of times. But this is probably one session that you haven't heard, so there will be many concepts that are new. And so I'm not going to attempt to finish all the slides that I've prepared, but it's already given to Diana and it will come in the group, the PDF, so you won't miss anything. So wherever I stop, you can just continue reading from there. So don't bother to take down notes, just listen. And of course, I've given you this written material. So we need to have some basic understanding of the terminology sex. That is biological male or female assigned at birth. Intersex is a person born with anomalies. Either the sex organs are maldeveloped or underdeveloped or indeterminate. So this is intersex. Now, intersex is not transgender. Most intersex have their sexual orientation straight. So it's very important to understand these concepts one step at a time. Now, gender is the psychological, social, and cultural aspects of being male or female. Gender role is the cultural expectations for maleness and femaleness. This is based on culture. What is expected in Kerala's patriarchal culture is different from a culture where I was born in Uganda in Africa. So, gender identity is yet another term. How you experience yourself, that is, how masculine or feminine do you think and feel for yourself, of yourself? Now, gender dysphoria is feeling trapped in a wrong body. By biological sex, I was assigned male, but I feel that I am a girl trapped in a male body. That is gender dysphoria. It can be the other way around too. So, having said these many terms, I assume that already you are in a state of aware. We are going to go forward. I have so much more to tell you, but even these basic terms are probably very important for us to understand initially. Now again, the LGBT very oversimplified definitions. Lesbian is woman who have sex with women. It's also WSW is also used for that. Gay or MSM, men who have sex with men, but the term can include WSW also. Bisexual, those who have sex with both men and women. Now, transgender, they do not identify with the sex assigned to them at birth. So they could be trans woman, an assigned male at birth, transitioned to female, or there could be trans man, assigned female at birth, but transitioned to male. Queer or questioning is confused or unsure of one's own sexual orientation, sexual identity, gender, or even all three. Now, in India, we have this term hijda. You know, that is actually biological males who reject their masculine identity and identify either as woman or at least not man, or in between man and woman, or neither man nor woman. See how confusing these things can become. So these are oversimplified definitions. You know, you go to the internet and you'll find various interpretations for all these terms, but you know, we don't want to go to that depth, so I've very simplified things to a great extent. Now, what was God's original design? Binary or spectrum? You see, the LGBTQ community will use these verses, which I have shown in the slide. Genesis 1:27, God created humans as male and female, not male slash female, but male and female in the same person. This is how they will interpret it. And therefore, you are spectrum and you are not binary. Do you understand? Matthew 19:4-5. Jesus said, haven't you read that the one who made them at the beginning made them male and female? So when I was made as a human being, I had the potential to go either way. That is how God made me. It's not, I probably need the help of George Christie or somebody to go to the Greek and to grammar and somehow, which is not going to be convincing to the LGBT community, to prove that this is something that cannot be interpreted that way. So I'm not going into that. But I want you to see from where they come, how they see the same scripture that we read differently. Now, I'm addressing that issue by saying three reasons why God has made man and woman binary. One reason is that the male and female were made for each other and not male for male or female for female. See, this concept is there in the Bible, and therefore my conclusion is, therefore the verses I showed in the earlier slide should be interpreted as binary and not spectrum. Number two, different roles are given for man and woman. Now they will deny that is cultural, but I'm speaking from a biblical perspective. In the Bible, we find different roles given for man and woman. I've given a lot of verses to support my point. And number three, homosexuality is a sin. There are verses for that. This will all be there in your notes, so you can go to these verses and refer. Very clearly stated, homosexuality is a sin. Now, I hope some of you have seen this documentary. It's a very famous documentary. It was brought out in 2022 by Matt Walsh, and it's worth listening. What is a woman? Now, it shows how many people, including the Supreme Court judges, struggle to answer this question, what is a woman? At the end of the film, Walsh's wife defines woman in very simple terms, an adult human female. Full stop. The whole documentary is talking to different scientists, professors and people in the street, trying to find the answer to this question. And he comes back home, talks to his wife, and he asks the same question to his wife, and she replies, an adult female, human female, and therefore, who is a man? An adult human male. I think these discussions should take place in our family with our children. Who is a woman? Who is a man? Let's talk about it. If you don't talk about it, they are talking about it in the school and they are getting indoctrinated, and they will come home with their own definitions. So the divine design in the Bible, marriage is a one man, one woman relationship where sexual union is between two complementary halves. This is how the Bible sees marriage. Ephesians 5:31, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. So I've given the verse by which I've come to that conclusion, which I've given in red font. Marriage is a one man, one woman relationship where sexual union is between two complementary halves. The polygamy practiced by King David and King Solomon were not part of God's design, so that should not be used as a means of proving something different. Now, in the Bible, homosexuality is sin. We will see those verses, Leviticus 18:22. You are not to have sexual relations with a male as you would with a woman. It is detestable. Leviticus 20:13. If a man has sexual relations with another male as he would with a woman, both have committed a repulsive act, they are certainly to be put to death. Romans 1:26 and 27. The terms homosexuality, this verse terms homosexuality as contrary to nature, clearly indicating that same-sex relationships are not the natural order. 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 2 Timothy 1:10, Paul includes homosexuals in a long list of sins. Jude 1:7, Sodom and Gomorrah committed sexual sins and pursued homosexual activities. So the Bible is clear on this, and the Bible uses the term homosexuality consistently. So when I speak about it, when I write about it, I also use that term instead of going to this LGBT, because it's plus, plus, plus. There are so many combinations possible. Homosexual conduct is sin in the Bible, but what about homosexual attitudes and desires? Hatred is wrong, but murder is far more harmful. Coveting is wrong, but theft is far more harmful. Lust is wrong, but adultery is far more harmful. Likewise, homosexual desires are wrong, but actually committing homosexual acts are far more harmful in terms of the consequences. Homosexual desires are viewed as degrading passions in Romans 1:26. All sin is wrong and brings legal guilt before God, but the Bible differentiates between the reality of being tempted by our own desires and giving in to those impulses as sin. Am I going too fast? No? Okay? Little more slowly, yeah. So I probably will finish half of my slides. When does desire become sin? James 1:15. Desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So, as we see in the natural human conception of a baby, there is a time of between conception and the birth of the child. So, there is a time span there. Now, according to this verse, the desire in itself is not sin. The illustration given is that of a birthing process. From conception to birth, there is a period of temptation. During that period, if the embryo is aborted, the sin is not birthed. But after sin has been birthed, it continues to grow and results in death, the consequences of sin. So temptation itself is not sin. So if you have an inclination, I am biologically a male, but within me I have inclinations to be a girl or a female, that inclination as such may not be sin. That's what I'm trying to communicate. It's a very fine line. Temptation in itself is not sin. Even Jesus was tempted. But God seeks holiness even in our desires. You understand? So we have to even address our desires. When I have such a desire, therefore the Bible prohibits not only adultery, but also lust for adultery. The Bible, not only theft, but also coveting. Not only murder, but also anger that leads to murder. So you see, God is concerned about what is happening in the heart. So I said there is a space for temptation. But I am also saying that if these desires, if these inclinations are there, by the New Testament definitions, where the standards have been raised further, even God is concerned about what is happening in our heart. So there's a fine line that differentiates desire, temptation, and sin. Ultimately, you are also responsible for how you interpret the Bible. And sin, I define it as, is a heart that is unsubmitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So progressively, this Lordship should increase and He should be Lord of your desires also. I hope I've got that point across well. Because of this position, the position I've been trying to describe this far, the LGBT consider us to be non-inclusive and discriminating. Oh, there's an overlap happening there. Actually, what the LGBT are doing is that they are not allowing us the freedom to hold our views on the subject. So who is becoming exclusive? You see, that is how you need to respond to them. They are saying you are exclusive. I am replying, see, I am holding a different view. You are LGBTQ, I am Z. And that's my view. Please include me. That's my view. Don't be exclusive. Be inclusive. That's my approach to this. They are bent on advancing their single ideological perspective while suppressing all other views. And we must deconstruct such ideologies, not by anger, angry street protest, that's not the way to do it, but we must be speaking into their confusion the truth in love and grace. If this last sentence can get across to you in the heart, I think I've done my work well. We must be connecting with them, we must be speaking into their confusion the truth in love and grace. Our truth will never be heard until our grace is felt. And if we have, this is where we have actually failed. Jesus Christ was full of grace and full of truth. Now, the LGBT will respond, we are born that way. It's not our fault, so don't discriminate. Now, let's respond to this. Let's examine causality. Okay, let's go to this in a little more detail. What did Jesus say about causality? Now, we are going to Matthew chapter 19, verse 1 to 12, where Jesus was definitely not speaking about Enochs. He was not speaking about the LGBT community. But in olden times, you know, Enochs were men who had been castrated for service in the king's palace. Now, based on this passage, Jesus divides causality into three: by birth, which means genetic influence or contribution. Number two, man-made circumstances or upbringing influences. And number three, by choice, conscious or subconscious or sometimes rebellious choice. My point is that these three categories which Jesus used for the Enochs still applies for the LGBT today. So let us consider these three sources of causality as it applies to the LGBT. Let's start with man-made causality. Some circumstances may trigger homosexual orientation. The physical or emotional absence of a caring father during childhood. I hope you will relate with what I said yesterday. The Bible, all the directions are to the father. And if you abdicate that role, there are implications that you may end up having a child who has developed a different sexual orientation from that of the assigned sex. So it's that important what the Bible says. Now, sexual abuse during childhood or adolescence. Being an unwanted girl child in a patriarchal society. Being brought up in a dysfunctional home with domestic violence. Association with practicing homosexuals in hostels and dorms. You know, I have a family in Kerala, Malayali family. They're a very beautiful family, but their son went to a particular college hostel and his roommate there was a homosexual. And to this day, he has given up his faith and he has also homosexual tendencies. This believer's family's son. So now, please note that not all victims of child abuse or dysfunctional families turn out to be homosexual. And that's not my conclusion. I'm saying that these are possible causalities. That's an example of a man-made homosexual orientation. This is about Rebecca. She lived in a remote farm in the U.S. countryside. Okay, so it was U.S. countryside. Some of you have visited U.S. You know that it's not like in Kerala, where there is Kerala is one big village or one big town. In U.S., you know, you have to travel miles and miles of farmland to get to the next town. So this was the countryside. And she was not allowed to drive the family car and visit her girlfriends. And the only people who were motivated enough to drive down the countryside and to visit her were her boy classmates. And so Rebecca had no female friends. She longed for female friends. And then she moved to the college hostel. Her roommate was a lesbian. And Rebecca fell for it. She got hooked. You understand how circumstances can lead to this type of a situation. Now, genetic determination is the second option by birth. The LGBT community asserts that sexual orientation is part of their genetic makeup from birth, and so homosexuals can never change. Now, I don't deny genetic influence, but I want you to recognize that virtually all behavior at some level is genetically influenced. Anger, high levels of selfishness, alcoholism, stubbornness, laziness, adultery, being prone to violence, etc. These are all genetically influenced. So genetic influence may define the circumstances of one's condition, but it can never be an excuse for indulging in homosexual acts. I have no right to murder just because my father was a murderer. My father may have had a short temper, and therefore I may also have developed a short temper, but that does not give me the freedom to, in my anger, kill somebody. So the LGBT claim intersex to be proof of born that way, but intersex is not transgender. Intersex is sexual anomalies, and those guys are usually straight. So an intersex person has developmental anomalies in the body anatomy, but a transgender person has a normal body anatomy. It's very important to understand this. And 1.7% of the human population are intersex, which means by some calculation 134 million people are intersex. Now, this is a huge number, but as I said earlier, their sexual orientation is often straight. So we do not have, as believers, we do not have any problem or any issue in accepting intersex persons into the church, or we do not have any objection in for them to seek corrective surgery or hormone therapy. There is no issue ethically or biblically. Our problem is only when a person with a normal anatomy identifies with a different sexual orientation, that is transgender. Am I communicating? Because this you are all hearing probably for the first time, so may be difficult to digest, but still hang on. What is the scientific evidence for genetic causality? There is no gay gene as such. You know, non-heterosexuality is influenced by many tiny genetic factors. You know, I've given the name of the scientist, a Harvard geneticist who had studied almost huge number of men and women in the USA. This is all available in the same-sex sexuality appears to be genetically influenced, but is not genetically determined. Other complex human behaviors such as smoking, use of alcohol, personality, and even job satisfaction have some genetic component. So I allow genetic influence, but I do not allow genetic determination. You must understand the difference there. Even today, even the LGBT have given up this argument, because they have found out that lesbian women who later on get involved with heterosexual men, and they have found bisexuals who later on get more attracted to either one sex. So even the LGBT community has finally given up this "born that way, therefore not my fault" argument. So they now prefer to say that sexual orientation changes over time. So if you adopt that policy, you know, you can justify your sexual orientation today and another sexual orientation tomorrow. It's very comfortable. So identical twins who have the same genes often differ in their sexual orientation. So this is a solid proof to say that it is not sexually genetically determined. So let us not blame our genes for any predispositions that we have. As I said earlier, my father may have been a short-tempered person, I may have problems in anger management, but that does not give me the license to live with my anger uncontrolled. I have to subject it to the moral will of God. Does God have a role in the LGBT identity crisis? I'm trying to say, yes, God does. Because in Romans chapter 1 verse 24, we read, "Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through their lusts of their hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." It is God who gave them up. You see, so instead of blaming this on the genes, let's blame it on God. That's more biblical. And let me tell you why. God has allowed minute changes to take place in our predispositions that has led to all kinds of deviations from the original man-woman predisposition. I think, I have no way of proving this from the Bible, that just as God caused total confusion of languages at the Tower of Babel, God seems to have allowed total confusion in our genetic language. Why? You have to read Romans to understand why. You see, that verse which is up there in the screen, Romans 1:24, starts with a "therefore," which implies that there were things that happened before that that made God to do this. And you know, this is why, you know, we have the LGBT community adding number of plus identities. They are totally confused. Some who say now that they are, trapped in a wrong body, after some time they say, no, it's a different thing. And then they say they are queer. Then they say they are confused. They are not sure. So they keep changing. So now, is God responsible? Romans 8:20 says that God has subjected creation to futility. Why did he do that? The verse very clearly says that God did not do it willingly. It was a consequence of the fall of man. So we put the blame on God, but God says, I had to do this because you first messed things up. And therefore, to make things progress to its ultimate confusion and destruction, I have to make this program go forward. Yes, God gave them up. But what made God subject creation to futility? He did it not willingly. And therefore, the relevance of that "therefore" in 1:24. Subjection was done in the hope of redemption. God is not responsible for sin or its consequences in the fallen world. Utter chaos and total degradation of moral values and a breaking up of the basic unit of society, the family, is a necessary step to complete redemption. Only a believer can understand this. We need grace from God to bring under subjection to God's word and to be transformed by the enablement of the Holy Spirit. This whole conference has been about that. So now, how do we respond to the LGBT? The world is generally divided into two camps: those who celebrate the LGBT and those who hate the LGBT. And as a Christian, we ought to be in the third camp, where we do not hate you, we love you and seek to help you. We desire to speak truth in love into your confused condition. your struggle is real, we agree that it is not easy. The best way for you is to submit to the divine design and seek a Christian community that will be supportive. This is the Christian response. But we will see an LGBT go that way, we'll run in the opposite direction. That's what we are doing now. And finally, we offer to be that community for you. That's the challenge that I'm trying to leave with you. We have to take up this challenge. So let's be outrageous in love and lavish in grace. If Jesus Christ was on earth today, I'm sure the LGBT would have flocked to him. You know why? Not because he approved of their conduct, but because in the New Testament, we read that the marginalized, the hurting, the shamed, and the shunned were always around Jesus. If those guys found a comfort zone with Jesus, if Jesus was here today, he would have been surrounded by LGBT. And if we are around, they probably will run away. Why is it that the LGBT do not flock to the church? Because we have some unaddressed prejudices and hatred towards them, that is where we need grace to change our attitudes. So there is an unlearning and relearning that has to take place in us. LGBT people already experience mental health concerns, loneliness, depression, social stigma, and rejection from family. They are already facing that. And so we must be the people who reach out to them. When we reach out to the pride parade, we must do so without pride. I think that has also been sufficiently emphasized in this conference. Now, our struggle is with heterosexual lust. You know, what I'm trying to say is that their struggle is with homosexual lust and gender dysphoria. You see, when I connect with a person who has homosexual lust and he says that his case is special, I say, my dear brother, your case is not special. We are struggling in a different area. I am always attracted to the opposite sex because I am straight. But you are attracted to the same sex. That's the only difference. We have struggles. I have to bring my thoughts and my feelings and my temptations subject to the word of God. Likewise, you also have to do it. Don't try to tell me that your case is something big and you can't understand it. My struggle is in a different area, that's all. We are both wretched sinners in need of grace. The only difference is that we know where to find grace. And one of the most powerful things we can do to welcome into our churches and fellowships men and women who have same-sex attraction and surround them with a bigger vision of life and relationship that makes it possible for them to experience supportive communities of families and friendships. We have to break our pride and we have to connect with them. So let us not be hypocritical or judgmental. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9 and 10, homosexuality is listed as a sin, okay? But please notice the other sins in that list. Adultery, greed, habitual drunkenness, verbal abuse. Very often we are guilty of these sins and we regard homosexuality as a separate special category. That is hypocrisy. Let us not be guilty of taking a differential stand on homosexuality while having a condescending attitude towards the other sins listed. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus Christ condemns this type of Pharisee attitude. It is this hypocritical posture that actually distances genuine seekers in the LGBT community from us. Now, can a practicing homosexual be saved? 1 Corinthians 6, 10, 9 and 10 tells us that homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? To inherit the kingdom of God, one must be born again. This applies to homosexuals or heterosexuals, and it also means that the first time we were born, we were all not born right. All of us. You understand? We had to be born again. to enter the kingdom of God. To all who receive and believe in Jesus Christ, God gives them the authority to become children of God, to those who are born, those who are born of God. So salvation is the work of the Lord. So my answer to this question is, only God knows. Who are we to judge? So God has saved, who saved the thief on the cross can ultimately save the homosexual too. But this position should never be a license for sin. We must repent. I want you to introduce you to this girl, Sophia David. She is a Malayali. She is born again and has the assurance of salvation. Her parents are from a brethren assembly. She got in touch with me when she was male, and today she is a trans woman. She's an advocate of inclusion and diversity and human rights. She works in Deloitte company. You can see her, listen to her TED talk on YouTube. The churches do not accept her. So this is happening. Let's be available to listen to the narrative. Sophia David called me up, talked to me. I prayed over her with the phone. It was before her surgery. I told her, these are my views, but I'll still pray for you. And then when I went to Toronto for some conference, she also there. She came up and met me. And, you know, let's not distance them, but let's not compromise on the truth that we hold. Now, in Sophia David's DP at that time, she had a quote of C.S. Lewis, "You don't have a soul, you are a soul, you have a body." You see, how a believer who is confused is still trying to find a basis in C.S. Lewis for her condition. He experienced a mismatch between body and soul. "I am a woman trapped in a male body." That's what she said. This is gender dysphoria. He wanted to undergo transition to become a woman. I discouraged him, but he insisted. So like the prodigal son father, I let him pursue this way. We have talked and prayed and stayed in touch. Today she is a trans woman. I am more concerned about her soul. And so I just gave you one example. So let's give allowance for the reality of non-binary bodies in a fallen world. What do I mean by this? You see, let us accept such persons the way they want to identify themselves. They want to say that, call me they, call me he, call me she. I don't have any problem in calling that. It's my personal choice. But then I've given a verse there for you too. It's not a direct reference to this, but the verse basically says, talk to a fool with the wisdom of, as a fool, you know. So if he wants to be called a fool, okay, I'll call you a fool. So that's the basic idea behind that. So that acceptance is the starting place for us to connect with them and lead them to their true identity in Christ. I am not holy, and I do not have a right to be offended by your sin. My job is to love the sinner and hate my own sin. You see, this is where we are making mistakes. God must grant the gift of repentance not only to my LGBT friends, but also to me for my wrong attitudes. If you have a family member who is LGBT, please don't exclude that person from your family. Stay connected. Continue to pray. Jesus Christ is interceding with you on their behalf. Please don't lose hope. Their story is not over yet. Let your emotions be led by the word of God. Let them know that you still love them. You need to find a church where there is a place for lamentation. Here we have so many churches where there is place for celebration, for worship. But I am searching for a church where there are people of crying brothers and sisters. There are times when believers need to find that church. That's the only wavelength that connects with them. You know, where there is space for shattered dreams and broken hearts, where suffering is the means of grace preparing you for eternity. If you are experiencing gender dysphoria yourself, pray that God will make you a godly man if you are biologically male. Or pray that God will make you a godly woman if you are biologically female. Plead with God for mercy and grace to know and do His will. Cultivate the habit of deep meditation and the study of the Word of God. One of the greatest fears is, will I grow old experiencing loneliness? So focus on cultivating a network of godly men and women who will walk along with you as you struggle in this difficult journey of life. And this is very difficult for a person who is going through this. Now, is SRS or sex reassignment surgery wrong? And Psalms 139 verse 13 to 17 tells us that despite all our predispositions, we are not an accident or a mistake. God's thoughts for us are precious. You know, He is the one who has designed us there. So John 9, 1 to 3, the disciples were asked, Jesus, Master, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus replied, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God might be revealed in him. We are special editions, all of us. And we have a special place in God's program. If you have gender dysphoria, I believe that God has positioned you with a special mission to the ever-increasing population of those who need help in this struggle. You are a missionary called. So let us promote the least invasive means, you know. Instead of desiring change of our gender, we can learn to use our brokenness to discover the works of God that are to be revealed through us. You know, the words that He was born blind, that God could be glorified. If you have gender dysphoria, seek how you are going to use this to glorify God. Only a wounded healer can truly minister to those who have deep psychological wounds. So my recommendation is that those experiencing gender dysphoria should resolve their conflicts by the least invasive means. You can use support systems, you can use medication if needed, but stay away from surgery, which is the most invasive means. Now the LGBT will ask, why do you then allow surgery for other congenital anomalies? You see, I gave the answer for this earlier. My answer is that SRS is an attempt to remodel a normal body into what suits an assumed or real transitory sexual orientation as insisted by the client. You want me to read that again? SRS is an attempt to remodel a normal body into what suits an assumed or real transitory sexual orientation as insisted on by the client, interfering with that God-given normal body anatomy is medically as well as ethically wrong. A time may soon come when medical science will be able to induce changes even through at the chromosomal level. We live in a society that increasingly supports gender fluidity and looks down upon and even criminalizes the biblical position. So we should expect opposition in this area. But what I'm trying to say is that the normal anatomy, the intersex person has a problem in his anatomy or her anatomy that we are willing to undergo change or surgery or anything. But the person who claims to be transgender has a normal body anatomy. That's the way he or she has been designed. But we are saying that from inside of him or her, there is an urge for a different orientation. Now, how do we address that? That's what I was talking about. Now, can my sexual orientation be changed by surgery? You know, there are some conversion centers But this, I'm very skeptical about these things because some of the techniques they use are not at all right. Sometimes they can be more harmful, leading to depression and even suicide. In my cell phone, I have enough number of forwards on these issues which will challenge you to change your thoughts and your understanding, and you will understand how the LGBT community, so many of them, are reconverting and understanding from the mistakes that they have made. Conversion therapy cannot provide repentance and grace. Instead of repressing my sexual orientation, I must acknowledge it, label it as the Bible does, a reality in this fallen world and an integral part of my sin nature. Then I must seek the mercy of God and I must receive the gift of repentance and God's grace to live in submission to His will. I have to do this even as a straight heteropersonal sex. I have to keep my emotions under control and subject to the moral will of God. If God is love, why doesn't He support true love between persons of the same sex? One question that they ask. The fact that God is the embodiment of love does not mean that He condones anything and everything. David can love Jonathan in a platonic, non-romantic way, but sexual intimacy between the same sex is consistently viewed as sin in the Bible. Sexual intimacy is to be confined to marriage, and marriage is to be only between one man and woman. That is what the Bible says. The church should always act with love and compassion towards homosexuals, but never affirm homosexual conduct as morally right. Now, we must understand that the LGBT lobby has a political and legal agenda. You know, they want to place their activists in positions of power so that they can change the laws. Now, like legalizing same-sex marriage or making gender identity a choice, these objectives are often at crossroads with the kingdom of God. And so we cannot identify with the LGBT political and legal agenda. We cannot. We must vote by our conscience, but a believer judge may have to set aside his personal convictions in favor of natural justice. That is part of the struggles of being in a profession. Now, not all of us are called into activism, but we must reach out to the LGBT individuals as their struggle is real and they need help. What if the law of the land allows same-sex marriages? The law of the land is in no way obligated to use the Bible as its point of reference. So same-sex marriages will be legal in many nations. If an unbeliever wants to have the same-sex marriage, he or she is free to do so by the law of the land, but not by the rules of the church that I am part of. Transgender people are eligible for equal rights in the workplace. There must be tolerance, respect, and no form of discrimination, either for them nor for us who hold specific religious positions. The church, however, will apply its rules for its own members based on how it has understood what the Bible teaches on the subject. The law of the land is one thing, the church is different. Now, the long-term consequences of same-sex marriages is that when government recognizes same-sex marriages, it would mean that homosexual couples will be able to adopt and raise children. That means that these children would be robbed of the opportunity of being raised by a father and mother, and thus being deprived from what is the best environment for them to grow up. The government will have to, this recognition will carry, you know, prohibition of criticizing homosexual conduct. So in the long run, what will happen? The entire disintegration of society will take place. And that is where God has programmed it to go. God gave them up. Why? Because this creation has to be redeemed. God gave them up, not willingly, but because He wants to redeem the entire creation. And society has to go from bad to worse. And things must collapse. Social norms must collapse. Everything must collapse. The Bible solution to homosexuality is not heterosexuality but holiness. God has created us as male and female and with certain moral and ethical responsibilities. Fidelity in marriage or chastity in singleness. The Bible honors and respects singlehood. Those who are married now will one day become single again. Remember that in heaven there is no marriage. So, we are all going to be single for eternity. So, we need to find identity for our souls, not in terms of how it orients us to others, but on the basis of who we are in Christ as children of God. You know the depth of what I am trying to say. Don't find your identity in your orientation. Because all of us who are, some of us are single, some of us are married, those of us who are married will one day become single again, and in eternity we are going to be single. Therefore, our identity does not come in our gender orientation, but our identity comes because we are a child of God. Loved forever, forgiven, blessed and complete in Him. What is the biblical solution for homosexuality? As with every other sin, the way forward, trust Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin. Reckon the imputed righteousness of God. Ask God for grace to live in this fallen world in which an ongoing conflict with sin is a reality. Do all to ensure that as and when grace is received, it will find in you good soil for the seed to grow. Be part of a supportive church fellowship. Look forward to the day when we shall be released from this body of death. Now, I want to stop here. You know, I have some more slides. You can read them there. Let's maybe have some questions and answers. I have 5 more minutes for my time to end. I don't want to extend my time. I have more examples. Maybe I'll just skip some slides and show you some things that maybe you can listen to. This sister, she lived a homosexual lifestyle for many years. She says, I attended pride parades. Then, you know, I used to say things that I was born that way. God is love. He knows my heart. Who are you to judge? This is what she used to say. I wore men's clothing. Over 5 years ago, God broke me for my good and for His glory. The Holy Spirit poked and prodded my conscience to finally convict me of my sins. He took hold of me and there was no running from Him anymore. He brought me to my knees, a night that I'll never forget. It still amazes me that God could look upon this wicked person, love me so much and change my heart so drastically as to desire His will over my own will. Though I still sin, I fall short daily, His grace abounds and He continuously doing His work in me. I can now go boldly to the throne of grace for all my needs and struggles. I have hope, peace, joy and true identity in Christ. Thanks be to God. I pray God does the same for not only those in the LGBT community, but for all who have never tasted His grace. That is her testimony. Let me, another person whom I would like to, this sister, Butterfield, Rosario Butterfield. Her videos are available on YouTube. She was a person who was a practicing lesbian from the age of 28 to 36. Now she is converted, happily married to a man and the mother of 4 children. So these are things that are available in that YouTube. She talks very candidly about, and she speaks about how she says hospitality is the way to reach out to the LGBT community. Everybody has gone to sleep. You're probably listening to this topic for the first time, so I don't expect that a lot would have got into your head. And please forgive me for being so confusing, because the LGBT are confusing. So let this be a beginning. I'm passing on these notes. Probably Dan has already sent them to the group, I'm assuming. So you can, but I can tell you one thing. They are aggressive in their agenda. They are soon be going to be your neighbor, and you will better learn about this before, as I said yesterday about that sixth standard student who came home and told mommy, you know, Divya is lesbian. And mommy, you may be wondering what my sexual orientation is. Don't worry, mommy, I'm straight. You can start hearing these conversations, and you be better prepared, fully prepared, to not run away from these conversations, but to do your homework so that you can address this with sincerity and honesty. Brother Elias, would you like to close in prayer if there are no questions?
Alex, I didn't blink an eyelid. I was listening to the whole thing. Praise God. I just want to share something which adds on to what Alex was saying. You see, they are aggressive. They are aggressive.
You need to hold my?
Really? Oh, sorry.
This one. He's going to pray something that has not been recorded. You said